Paddy O'Flynn was coming through customs at Dublin Airport carrying a large bottle. "What have you there?" asked the suspicious TSA officer. "It's holy water from Lourdes. I'm bringing it back home with me," said Paddy. The officer took the bottle and tried some. "Why, this is Irish whiskey," he shouted. "Glory be to God," said Paddy. "It's a miracle. He's done it again." Today's gospel, Jesus changes water into wine. He works his first miracle at this wedding feast of Cana. I've had the privilege of going to the Holy Land a few times, and we always visit Cana. And when I'm there with groups of people, we always have the couples that are there renew their wedding vows at Cana, in the church built over the place where this miracle occurred. Because when the Lord attended this wedding feast, he elevated marriage to a sacrament. Marriage was something good and natural. Jesus made it holy and supernatural by his presence at the wedding feast. He elevated marriage to a sacrament. And of course, when we go to the Jordan River, we always have people renew their baptismal vows at the Jordan River. So it's one of the privileges of doing pilgrimages, of going to see these holy places. Cana is only 4 miles from Nazareth. That's how the Blessed Mother was friends with this family, with this couple. It says that she was invited to the wedding, and because of her, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. Now, these wedding feasts would usually last 7 to 10 days. And one of the most indispensable parts, obviously, was the food, but also the wine. It was wine country. And the bridal party had to, and the families had to provide for this feast, which again would be maybe a week or two. It would take a long time for people to get there, so people would stay and celebrate for a whole week. But a tragedy happened. The wine was running short. Imagine this happening at an Italian wedding festival or an Irish wedding festival. It was even worse in those days because this was their, it was wine country. And so this was part of the celebration. Well, who notices that the wine was running out? It was a good Jewish mother, our Blessed Mother. She was working behind the scenes and making sure people had enough to eat and to drink, as our Blessed Mother always knows our needs before we do. She always knows what we need before we do. She is a good mother. And so she noticed that the wine was running short. This would cause great embarrassment to this newly married couple. So what does she do? She intercedes. She goes to Jesus and intercedes on their behalf. Now notice, this bride and groom don't even know it's happening. The Blessed Mother goes to Jesus and she doesn't tell the Lord to do anything. She presents him with a fact, with a statement, and leaves it completely up to him. She says, "They have no wine." A simple statement. Now the Lord's response is rather interesting. He says, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." Let's unpack those words. Woman, why does he call her woman? It's a title of respect in those days. And it harkens back to the book of Genesis. Mary is the woman who would give birth to the seed who would crush the head of the serpent, the devil. At the foot of the cross, Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." The book of Revelation says that it would be a woman clothed with the sun who would help to defeat the dragon. So the woman, the theme of the woman, is all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation. It refers to the mother of the Redeemer. So he calls her woman, a title of great honor and respect. And the actual Greek says, not "how does your concern affect me?" It says, "Woman, what to me and to thee?" In other words, how does this affect you and me? "My hour has not yet come." In other words, Jesus had not planned to begin his public ministry. He had not planned yet to reveal his divinity or to work his first miracle, because once he did this, he would set in motion the redemption. He would then begin his public ministry. He would reveal himself. He would be rejected. He would die on the cross. He would rise from the dead and redeem the world. So he says, "My hour has not yet come." Now go back 18 years to when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple of Jerusalem. The Lord had begun his public ministry. He was talking to the chief priests and elders of the people, and he began to really begin his public ministry. But once the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph found him in the temple, they said, "No, come home with us to Nazareth." And it says he went home and was obedient to them. And now 18 years go by, and now it's time. Now the Blessed Mother knows it is time for the Lord to begin his public ministry. He's now 30 years old. That's why some theologians say Jesus must have been Irish. 30 years old, single, and living with his mother. So now he begins his public ministry, but notice he says, "My hour is not yet come." So even now, after 30 years, he's not even planning on starting until he gets the okay from his Blessed Mother. So Jesus, obviously as a good son, respected and obeyed his mother. Even though he was God and she is a human being, a creature, he obeyed her. Notice what the Blessed Mother does. She doesn't say anything more to the Lord. She turns to the servers and she says a statement, and these are the last recorded words of Mary in the entire Bible. And I think the Holy Spirit did this for a reason, so we would always have these words of Mary for the next 2,000 years. "Do whatever he tells you." That's all the Blessed Mother wants us to do. Do whatever Jesus wants us to do. Do whatever Jesus tells us to do in our own personal life. Mary leads us to Jesus and wants us to do whatever Jesus tells us to do. So notice, she did not ask anymore. She presented him with the problem. She left it completely in his hands. And she told the servers, "Just do whatever he tells you." Jesus could tell them nothing if he wanted to, or he decides to work the miracle. So what he does is he takes, there were 6 stone water jars, and they were huge. They each held 20 to 30 gallons, and they were used for foot washing and hand washing as people will come into a banquet. And he told them to fill them to the brim. And the servants obeyed Jesus perfectly, and they filled them completely to the brim. Now this is a lot of water, which will become a lot of wine. 120 to 180 gallons. Next time you go to the store, pick up a gallon of milk, okay? And then just happen to pick up 180 gallons of milk. Fill up your minivan if they would all fit in there. They might not, because that's 180 gallons is a lot of gallons. But this is the idea of abundance. The Messiah would bring abundance. He would multiply the loaves and fish. He would produce this abundance of healings and miracles and blessings and graces. And so they fill them to the brim. And now Jesus says something interesting, which I'm sure scared the servants to death. And they knew that they could probably lose their job, because it took great courage to take a scoop of this water out of the jars and take it to the sommelier, to take it to the maitre d', the head waiter, and ask him to drink it. These guys were probably scared to death, but they had courage, they had faith, they obeyed Mary. Do whatever he tells you. Jesus says, take a scoop of it in a cup and give it to the head waiter. So these guys, probably trembling, gave the head waiter this water, but of course it had become the best wine that this head waiter had ever tasted. He said, "This is amazing." And so he's so filled with surprise that he goes to the bridegroom and says, "This is so different than every other wedding feast. Normally the wedding feast, they serve the really good stuff first because people are finely attuned to it. But after a few days of drinking, they're not going to know what's good and what's bad wine. So, but you have saved the best wine until now." So Jesus changed the water of the Old Testament into the wine of the New Testament. He worked this great miracle of joy and happiness. He saved the wedding feast. He saved this couple from embarrassment. He saved this thing from being a disaster. And it says, he did this as his first sign at Cana in Galilee and revealed his glory. He revealed his divinity, his divine power, and his disciples began to believe in him. So what lessons can we take from this to our spiritual life? Number one, Jesus is a great person to invite to a party. Okay, that's a great, or into any aspect of your life and our lives. Number two, obey your mother, even if she only drops a hint, right? And that's what the Blessed Mother did. She only presented it and sort of dropped a hint that they could use some help. But Jesus obeyed his mother, and we should, of course, honor and obey our parents as well. Also, we should see in this the elevation of marriage to something which is not only good and natural, but something that is holy and supernatural. We should see that this prefigures the Eucharist, because Jesus changing water into wine would prefigure him turning wine into his blood and the bread into his body at the Last Supper. And I would say the last thing that we should take from it is the fact that Christ can solve all of life's problems, that Christ is the miracle worker, and he is the one who works the miracles in our lives. He's the answer to all life's difficulties and problems, and the Blessed Mother's intercession is very powerful as well. Yes, we could go to Jesus directly, which we often do in our prayers, but why not go with Mary as our prayer partner? Why not go with Mary to talk to Jesus? Ask Mary to help us, to intercede for us with her divine Son. Jesus honored his mother. He obeyed her. When the Blessed Mother spoke, he listened. When E.F. Hutton spoke, people listened, right? So the Blessed Mother said the words. Jesus willingly listened to her and decided to intercede. Even though he had said, his hour has not yet come, he decides it because the Blessed Mother asked him to. Ask yourself in your life, what are you running out of? Are you running out, or have you run out of patience with the kids? Have you run out of faith? Is your faith becoming weakened in modern society? Have you run out of hope? Are you filled with discouragement or despair? Have you run out of love for your spouse or family members? Have you lost your job? Have you run out of work? Have you run out of hope that your kids will come back to the church, your grandkids will come back to the sacraments? What have you run out of? Maybe you're running out of health. Maybe you have health issues, running out of good health. Maybe you're running out of money. Maybe you're running out of love within your marriage or family. Whatever it might be, see what it is that you're running out of. Ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you and to go with Jesus with you and on your behalf. And I truly believe that with the special intercession of our Blessed Mother, Jesus can and does continue to work miracles in all of our lives.